And it's great to see a lot of these students that come initially, they just want to practice their English with native speakers. But by the end, most are saying, wow, I got way more out of this than English. We usually have four or five that say, you know, I've made a decision to follow Jesus. And many more that say they want to start reading the Bible and joining some of our follow-up. I guess the next slide is actually a video of what our camps are kind of like, and then also some interviews with a few students who have been before. Wait.
Jesus. And she took her Bible home and she was all excited. But she got home and she shared with her mother and her grandmother, and they weren't so excited. They got married. This is the Bible reading and studying. That's for the priest to understand, and you need to focus on your studies and on your career and leave that to the priest. Anyway, so we kind of lost touch with Mary for about a year, but then she was invited to one of our worship events that we had. And God really, during the worship time, God really got a hold of her heart again, and she decided, no, I really want this. And so her and I started meeting, like, every week, and then her and I started reaching out also to other Ukrainian girls and sharing the gospel with them. And then, a year ago, she became my daughter-in-law. My son happened to be at that camp, and they had become friends. And anyway, so now see, her and Andrew are on our team. What's really cool, though, is that her mom and her grandmother, since the latest invasion started, they were open to reading the Bible, to talk about stories and quotes from the Bible. And so her mom and her mom's two sisters and her grandmother are meeting. Now her dad has even joined the group. But they've been meeting all these months, and they even do Bible reading plans together. And I know that her mom and an aunt have come to the Lord. So it's exciting that they were kind of discouraging her from reading the Bible and seeking God. And now they are. So exciting.
So that's one of the big things that we do in our ministry is what we call Discovery Bible Studies. And so I think one thing that we did at the beginning of the pandemic is we heard an idea that, oh, you need to contact all your Facebook friends and let them know that since it's such an uncertain time with the pandemic, that you'd like to meet with them to share stories of hope from the New Testament, to discuss them. And so I thought, oh, that's a cool idea. So I did that. And I had about 20 former Ukrainian students that we had worked with write me and say, yeah, I'd like to join one of those. So we started three groups, including this one, and began to meet and discuss stories of hope from the New Testament, from the life of Jesus. And it's exciting to see how, especially this group, has really continued, and a couple of those young women have come to faith. We even have a guy from Italy that joins. It was a friend of one of them. So that was cool. But what is interesting, too, is that because of the pandemic, we learned how to use Zoom. And God prepared us for the war. Because when people scattered as a result of the war, we were still able to meet because we had gained some experience on Zoom. The other big meeting that we have, this is actually our Sunday morning worship. So we, instead of meeting in a larger facility, we usually break into small groups we call life groups, and just meet every Sunday morning, so in an apartment or at a cafe. And so this is a group that Shelley and I were a part of. We just sit around drinking tea and eating snacks, but also, you know, encouraging, supporting one another, praying together, worshiping, singing worship songs, and then discussing the Bible together. Let's see. Yeah, but of course, when the war came, you know, we felt like we began to live out Acts 8 to 11. If you know, Stephen was stoned in Acts 7. And then 8 to 11, the church was scattered across the Roman world. And they began to, take Jesus to other parts of that world. And we feel like that's kind of what's happened with us. So this is actually one of our life group meetings that happened after the invasion last year. Shelley and I were actually in Budapest at the time, but we were able to continue meeting. And we have five different countries represented here. So we have not only us in Budapest, but a couple of people still in Kyiv. But then we had Spain and Germany and also Luxembourg that were in this meeting. So thankfully, the pandemic was helpful in that regard. But also, as people begin to scatter, like I said, they don't just go. They take Jesus with them and begin to share him where they're at. So Shelley's going to share about that a bit.
So Dorita is another girl who came to our camp years ago. And her first camp, she had a boyfriend there. She was kind of focused on him and didn't really get into the Christian part of camp. But we stayed in touch with her through English class, and she came to another camp. And she really understood the gospel and accepted the Lord and grew a lot, became one of our leaders in our network of groups. And then after the invasion, the latest invasion started. She lived in Kyiv, and the air raid sirens, it was really difficult for her to live there under that. And so she decided she wanted to move, and her job, she could work remotely. So she moved to Budapest. And in Budapest, Hungary, she has found other Christians who want to reach out to the Ukrainian refugees. So she was involved in two summer camps for the Ukrainian children. And then also her team is doing Discovery Bible groups with Ukrainians. And then they went to Denmark to help train a man there to do outreach to the refugees who was asking for help. So Dorina is really excited with the ministry opportunity. And then Julia, she also came to camp. Her mom before camp had encouraged her to read the Bible, but Julia thought, oh, it's boring. She wasn't interested. But at camp, she understood about relationship with Jesus. So she accepted the Lord, and we started meeting after camp right away and to help her grow in her faith. And then she is, as well has grown a lot and become a leader in our ministry. But before the latest invasion, she moved back to her a big farmhouse near Lviv, and it was just her living there. So she was able to accept people who were running from the dangerous area from bombs. So she had like 25 people living with her in her house there at one time, and then probably 125 who came through her home. And she also started a humanitarian aid organization where she's raising funds to send supplies to soldiers or gas money to bring bodies back from the front. And she's just really busy during this war time.
So, and this is Vitaly and Ilona. They were two people from our network that evacuated to Switzerland. And in Switzerland, they met all kinds of other Ukrainian refugees, and they thought, wow, we need to just keep doing what we were doing in Kyiv. So they began to reach out to the refugees, some of them Christian, and they began to teach them how to do simple church things, you know, like just meeting in small groups and doing discovery studies. And then there were those that, refugees that just wanted hope. They weren't Christians yet. And so they invited them in. And so now they have two groups going, discovery studies, that it's exciting to see how God is using them. So I'm going to skip over that. And so one thing that we do notice is that as a result of the war, Shelley already mentioned about Mary's family being more open, but we're seeing more and more people that way, that are more open. And so go ahead.
Yeah, so there's another girl, Holly, our friend, who came to camp, our second camp, years ago. And Holly was really interested in hearing about Jesus. But over the years, she's interested in everything. A very new age. She would have called herself a hippie. She always has, well, she does, oh no, she has a very large face. Anyway, after the invasion, we stayed friends all these years, but after the invasion, she needed to move to safety with her daughter. So they moved to Italy to be with her sister, and men who are age 18 to 60 are not allowed to leave. So her husband stayed back in Ukraine. So she's been over a year without him in Italy. And so she reached out to me after she moved, and she wanted to start reading the Bible. After all those years, she wasn't too interested, but now she is, and we've been meeting almost every week, reading the Bible together. And I sent her a Bible to Italy, and she would open it up and find different verses and then ask me questions. And one of the questions was, she said, I found a verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And she said, can you explain that to me and how you do that in your life? Can you give me examples? So she's always writing me these things. And she even now has a tattoo, trust in the Lord with all your heart. God has really helped me.
So, at the end of January last year, this was a month before the invasion. At that point, the U.S. Embassy sent out its non-essential personnel, and so our mission said, "Oh, you guys need to leave too." So they evacuated us to Budapest, where we have another mission team working. So we were staying with them, and then once the invasion occurred, then we began to work with refugees. So. Shelley and I began to manage a 12-bed shelter for refugees. Our mission had office space they weren't using, so we put in 12 cots, and we were making beds and doing laundry and buying groceries and cooking meals. And I was driving a little car around to Budapest, running errands, shopping, taking people to stations and that kind of thing. But the best part was being able to sit with the refugees and just to hear their stories. And maybe even to pray with them. So you notice they're all women in the picture. So as Shelley mentioned, men can't leave. And so a lot of these ladies are without their husbands. In fact, the woman at the end and the blonde with the stripes, she's 7 months pregnant. Can you imagine having to evacuate from your home into a foreign country where you don't speak the language when you're 7 months pregnant and not understanding the healthcare system and all that kind of thing? So these ladies, I can remember, they were super stressed out. You know, they didn't have their husband's support. They were on their own and trying to figure things out. And it was almost overwhelming me, too, stressful because of the questions and the concerns that I really couldn't answer. But thankfully, they were able to go on to Switzerland, and the government there was able to get them into more permanent housing and provide for them. So that was good. But I wanted to share about this particular refugee. She's a 96-year-old woman. Can you imagine having to evacuate your home at 96? You know, she wasn't having a difficult time walking, but anyway, she was immigrating to Israel, and she's with her nephew and his wife. And I happened to meet her nephew on the streets of Budapest one Sunday evening. He was walking along, and he came up to me and he asked in broken English, Do you know, is there anywhere around here where I could get a passport photo made? And this was a Sunday evening, and I'm thinking, you know, probably not. There's probably nothing open on Sunday evening. But I said, let me check. So I got on my phone and I Googled, and you know what? There was. There was a place open, and it was specifically targeting working with Ukrainians. So they spoke Russian and Ukrainian. So I said, well, hop in the car. Let's go over there, and I'll take you over there and get that photo made for his 96-year-old aunt. And so while she was getting her photo made, I was standing there talking with him, and he said, you know, before I met you, my wife was praying and praying that we would find a place. And I told her, no, there's no way. There's nothing going to be open on Sunday night. And he said, if we find a place, I'll believe in God. And so he had no excuse then, because God provided it. So, yeah, well.
Yeah, and when we had to leave quickly to leave Ukraine, I knew that it would be a time where God would be working on our hearts, too. We've shared a lot of stories of how he's working on Ukrainians, but he's still working on our hearts. And when we thought we would go to Budapest and we would be there maybe 3 weeks, there wasn't going to be an invasion. Ukrainians, that we know, didn't think there was. And so we just thought we would return. But we ended up being there 4 months in Budapest. But after a month and a half, I began to kind of get homesick for my things in Ukraine. So I couldn't bring everything. But I felt guilty for feeling this way because we're working with the refugees who are having to leave their homes and family. And here I'm thinking of my coffee mug. And because I didn't have, I would use a special coffee mug every day. So I didn't want to tell anyone. But I told Randy, I'm really missing my coffee mug. I wish I had my coffee mug. So a couple days later, he goes and he buys this and brings it to me, this coffee mug. And I was like, oh, thank you, Randy. That is so nice. But he could tell that I didn't really like it. I don't know why. I just didn't like it. But it just wasn't mine. Anyway, the next morning, I was sitting with that coffee mug. And I looked down at it with all the letters scattered. And I thought, that's the perfect coffee mug for me now. Because that's how I feel. Our life is just chaos. It was a chaos time. And in Ukraine, our life was ordered and we, you know, ministry and everything. And here we are. We don't know if we're going to get back to Ukraine or what, so I just feel chaotic. And then I had, by the grace of God, I had just read verses a couple days earlier where Jesus was talking with the Father and saying, take this cup from me, but not yours. Your will, not my will. And anyway, and so I just began to think, wow, Jesus went through so much more than just a little bit of chaos in his life for me and for us. And so that cup became a worship cup to him. And also I thought, isn't it cool that God does care about my heart and how I'm feeling. He cares about this 96-year-old grandmother who needs a passport photo. He cares about people on the front line and mothers who are losing sons, and he cares about my heart too. So that just really spoke to me, and I'm thankful that we do have a God that cares about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the cool thing is we've shared this story in the U.S., then people will look at that cup and they find words in there. Mm-hmm. And one of them came up to Shelley after the meeting and said, oh yeah, I saw the word Father in there. And so the Father's taking care of you. And next week, a lady saw faith, you know, so it's kind of cool. I just wanted to share a few verses that have been meaningful for us during this time. When we came home from Budapest, we were thinking about that. And these verses just spoke to me as kind of what we've been going through from Lamentation. So let me read them for us. It says here, my soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And the verses were meaningful for me because I was thinking back to our time when we were evacuated from Ukraine. And then again, when the bombs started falling that first morning, we woke up in Budapest and we heard, oh, the war has started, the invasion has started. And then again, when we're overwhelmed with the refugees and their needs and feeling inadequate to the task. And my soul was downcast. I was feeling down. And I don't know that I always used Jeremiah's recipe here, but I think it's something I want to do better at. It's something that I think we all probably do and maybe could do better at. But I like what he says in verse 21. He says, "Yet this I call to mind." And then in verse 24, "I say to myself." So he's reminding himself of truth, speaking truth to himself. And it's so easy to speak lies or to rethink about lies and to forget the truth. But it's when we remember that truth. And I'm sure we've all experienced it. Some verse just God uses in our hearts and it gives us hope. And so developing that regular practice is important. And here's the truth that Jeremiah, he said, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And I just got to thinking about that love. It says here, love, God's love for us. And it's not just a little love, it's great love and infinite love that's so big that I can't get out of it. Even if I was in a rocket ship trying to, shoot out of that love, I could not do it. And if he really loves me that way, he's going to be with me in the midst of the challenges and the difficulties. And I'm not going to be consumed. And I thought about consumed, destroyed, done away with, completely gone. And so I'm thinking, well, what does that actually mean in practice? Most of the time, probably it means, oh, OK, he's going to help me through the situation. I'm going to make it to the other side. Maybe it means he's going to turn everything around so it turns out really great. Maybe it means I'm going to go be with Jesus. It's my time. But in any case, I'm never going to be consumed and I don't have to be afraid. But the phrase I really like here is where it says his compassions never fail. Some versions say his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. And I think too often I forget to look for the mercies, the compassions. It's easy to get caught up seeing the problems and the difficulty and the pain. And to miss the mercy. Sometimes they're just small things. Maybe a beautiful sunrise or a kind word someone says or whatever. But we actually had some big compassions when we were in Budapest. I mentioned that I was driving this little car around Budapest running errands. And it was a lot of fun and an adventure. You know, I'm not used to driving in Europe with ancient narrow streets, you know. And it was a lot of fun learning how to drive. And, you know, I felt like a little Formula One racer in a Mercedes car. So it was cool. What happened one day is I happened to be driving in the middle of Budapest and I got stuck in a traffic jam right in central Budapest. And I looked down at my gas gauge and of course the needle was on the E. And I'm in the middle, no gas stations closed, totally stopped. And I'm thinking, oh no, what have I done? I mentioned it to my passenger and he says, you know, this is a diesel car. And if your diesel runs out of fuel, you're going to have a hard time getting it restarted. And I'm like, oh, no, what have I done? So all I could do is pray. So I prayed, God, help us to have enough fuel to get to the gas station out of this traffic jam. And turns out that I opened my eyes and looked down at the gauge and the needle had popped up to an eighth of a tank. And I hadn't moved at all. It's not like I'd moved. And it sloshed it around. So that was a huge compassion. So thankfully, we got through the jam and to a station. By then, it was back on the E, but I was able to fill up. And then, we moved three different times when we were in Budapest in just 4 months. But every time when you needed to move to a new place, God provided a place to go. And his compassions are new every morning. The last thing I wanted to mention was in verse 24. He says, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." And too often I think, no, my portion is get to live in Kyiv and to do my ministry. Or my portion is to have my favorite coffee cup. Or my portion is to get to eat all the chocolate I want to eat. You know, I get focused on other things, thinking that's what satisfies. That's what makes me happy. That's what meets my needs. And I forget, no. The Lord is my portion. Jesus is my portion. And even if everything else is taken away, I still have him. And he's what truly satisfies and meets my needs. And when I begin to understand that truth, that's what gives me the strength to be able to wait for God. I think sometimes God takes away all those extra things just so we'll have to learn that lesson, that Jesus is our portion. And well, we wanted to kind of close our sharing just by singing to you a song in Ukrainian. You may not understand the words. Maybe someone does. I'm not sure. But there's a little bit of English at the end. But maybe you'll recognize the tune, because I think it's something that's really fairly well known. I have this. You have that. It's okay.
Тебе люблю,
твоя милість не залишить, всі дні життя я в твоїх, Ісус, в руках. Відколи я прокинусь і доки не засну, співатиму про твою доброту. Бо все життя моє ти вірний, і все життя моє ти був благим, і з кожним подвигом новим співатиму про твою доброту. All my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for letting us share about God's goodness. Again, I think all of us could share stories of that. And thank you for letting us share. I wanted to just kind of close with a few prayer points, things that we pray for. And I'm sure that you've prayed for Ukraine and the situation. But here are some things that we pray. It's just, I pray for a just end to the war. I use that word just because it doesn't seem just to me for Ukraine to have to surrender territory. But I know it's complicated with nuclear weapons and all of that. But we're just praying that God will somehow do miracles. And praying for those who are suffering. You know, not only those that are in the war-torn areas, those that are suffering with electrical blackouts, but those that are in other countries. They don't speak the language. They're having to learn the system. We had a woman in one of our groups that is in Italy that she was sharing that her kids got sick and she didn't know where to go, what to do in terms of health care, and she didn't speak the language. And so just those challenges too. And we're praying for a revival. We already see it in some of the lives of people we work with. I know that a lot of people are experiencing the same. We're praying it will spread across Europe, really, and the world. And then we're turning to Ukraine on Thursday. So you can pray for our safe return and pray for our teammates, including our kids who are already there, for safety. You know, the potential for missile attack is still there, but thankfully, you know, hopefully everything will be okay. The last thing is we send out a prayer email. So I don't know if some of you, I think, already received that. But if there's some that would like to be added and be able to pray for us, keep up with us, you can scan the QR code and then sign up, and we'll add you to our email list. But that's up to you if you'd like to do that. But thank you so much again. We value your partnership over the years in prayer and finances and sending people. So thank you for your part in our work. I mean, these are your stories too. So we pray God blesses you. Thank you.